This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony. Today, the Word of God from John, the Gospel, John 6. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. I'm going to stop right there. No one who comes to me, Jesus says, will I ever reject. And I know people have been rejected in the world. I've been rejected. Oh, yes, I've been rejected. But you know what? I learned to go through the rejection because Jesus never rejected me. Jesus never rejected, even at the seminary. I was known as the charismatic. I don't know what that means. Don't know what that means. I'm no known as a charismatic. I'm a Catholic Christian. Well, you know what? He's involved with people speaking in tongues. You know, people have nothing better to do than to criticize. But you know what? You just keep your eyes on Jesus. In the midst of all the things that are being said about you, you keep your eyes on Jesus, and things work out. We're not here to please people. We're here to please the Lord. And in pleasing the Lord Jesus, many people will be blessed. And that's our role, to please Jesus. And he says to us today, in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. Rejection is part of many people's lives. They've been rejected by teachers. Oh, have you had a teacher that didn't like you? And you knew you were at her mercy or his mercy. They have been rejected by teachers. Ooh, people have been rejected by priests. Oh, yes. Come to confession, and they say what they need to say. And the priest says, you should have known better. Let me tell you this. I went to confession once. I was a priest. I confessed my sins. And the priest said to me, you should have known better. And so I said to him, Father, that's why I'm here. I didn't know better. Oh, you never greet a penitent with words like that. Never, never, never. Our Lord Jesus said, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing, that's you and me, of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. Rejection. The Lord wants to heal the wounds of rejection. That's real. You know, when I was in high school at gym, I was probably the second last person that was called for the team. That hurt. But you know what? God favored me. And God blessed me. No, I wasn't great soccer player, but I had someone in my life that changed me, and I wasn't going to let people, because they would say, you know, he's the last person you want to have on the team. No, they're not going to destroy me. I belong to someone else, and he never rejects me. We've all been rejected, but never by Jesus. Even by the church, we've been rejected, but never by Jesus. When a penitent comes to me, I have no right to reject them. I have the right to tell them, the Lord brought you here because he loves you and has plans for you as you confess your sins. No, no, no rejection. And I know people are listening to us today. They've been rejected. And I'm going to tell you this. Your rejection given to Jesus can bring life not only to you, but to many other people. Oh, yes. You know what? I'm not the favorite person of the diocese, but that's okay. I don't need to be the favorite person. So, they've been very, very good to me in one sense. But in another sense, you know, that's Di Lorenzo. He's the charismatic. Oh, and I tell people, don't label me. I'm bigger than your labels. Don't label me. I'm bigger than your labels. You see, we try to size people up by a phrase. He's the charismatic. He's the one who had many girlfriends. She's the one who left home when she was 15. We try to size people up. But the Lord Jesus never sizes it up. He says, with what you have, I will enter into it and bring life out of death. With what you have and what you've gone through, I will bring life out of into it. The ways of death will be abolished in what you've experienced, and life will come through that experience. That's Jesus. He does those things. Point to your heart and say, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. I'm a new creation. I've been redeemed. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. So when you go to confession, if you're rejected by the priest, you tell him, I was expecting the Lord Jesus behind this confessional, and I found Judas. Oh, yes. Yes. No one should ever be rejected at the sacrament of penance. No one. No one. No one. It's hard enough for people to come and bear their souls to a human being. No one should ever be rejected.
Father Tom, the charismatic. I just say Father Tom, the one that does what the Bible calls us to do. Father Tom's the man who reads the word and carries out Christ's ministry as Jesus carried it out. Not by philosophical means, but just like a child, very simple. Read the word, does what the word tells us to do, and Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, does the rest. Amen. As we speak the word, Jesus confirms the word in miracles by signs and wonders. But it's so important. Father talked about having rejection, and God uses that because the bigger void in our soul, the more that God's love can fill that void, and the more that Jesus can reign in us. Maybe we have rejection by friends. That's a void. Maybe we have rejection by our father or mother or abandonment. That's a void. But if you have that void, you have an ability to experience a realm in the depths of the Father's love that someone who may have had a father who was there never is able to experience. Because God the Father himself will fill that emptiness within you. This is why the love of Jesus loves us so much. And it's so important that we experience God's love, because ultimately in this life, what is inside of us, we attract. So if we're filled with fear, if we're filled with rejection, if we're filled with bitterness, our life is going to reflect a life of fear, shame, bitterness, rejection, and we're going to attract those things to us. But as Jesus comes and he heals us by the power of the Holy Spirit from the inside out, then our life begins to reflect what's in our soul: peace, love, joy, community. And we begin to attract and we begin to receive the blessings of God. You know, it's so important that even when we are in a hard situation, that we don't complain. How many times did God tell the Israel people, don't murmur, don't complain? Because what complaining does, even in bad situations, it closes the door for us to receiving grace. But when we thank God, it opens the door wide for the grace and the blessing of God to be poured into us. God wants you to live under the blessing of Christ. God wants you to have, Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and life abundantly. An abundant, full life in every area, spirit, soul, body, physically, financially, everything. That's what the Lord has for us. But the Holy Spirit comes and heals us by the love of Jesus from the inside out. The Word of God said, as our soul prospers, our life will prosper. You know, when I meet someone and their life's all tied up and they got, it's because I know they need Jesus to come heal them, heal their heart, heal their thinking, heal their mind. And as the healing power of Christ comes upon them, then Jesus will build their life, because we live a life from the inside out. What's going on in our inside, what's going on in the physical world, is just a reflection of that. So as our soul prospers, as your soul prospers, as Jesus heals you, as Jesus builds you, as Jesus allows you to know that you are loved, who you are in Christ, that you are the Father's child, and you are able to just be with yourself, to love God, to go to church, to be in intimacy with Christ, then everything else starts fixing itself. What did Jesus tell us? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto it. But the point is, the most important thing you can do in your life is seek first the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is dwelling within you right now if you've invited him in. The Holy Spirit can be inspiring your mind and giving you the thoughts of God, the destiny he has for you, the life he has for you. But what we put our focus on, it grows. So today, put your focus on Jesus Christ so he can grow first within your soul, then within your life.
Keep your eyes upon Jesus. On Paris Street, where I live, or lived in East Boston, I would walk to Sacred Heart Church, and there would be a little lady in the window. Oh, she was an old lady, but shining was her face. And one day, her name's Sadie, she asked me to come in to her home. Oh, and so I went into Sadie's home. And she started preaching to me. Oh, she was filled with the love of God. And she started to say things that were so beautiful about Jesus. Oh, she was filled with the love of God. After she did that, we stayed for a while, and I went to church. I went to Mass, and it was over. But I tell you, every time I went by Sadie's house, she was there, with her face shining like the sun, with Jesus, yeah. With Jesus. Yeah. When she died, I was called to do the funeral. I'm a Catholic. She wasn't Catholic. When she died, I was called to do the funeral. And the only thing I could say was, Sadie loved Jesus, and Jesus loved Sadie, and she knew him, not know about him, she knew him, and her life was changed because she knew him, and she was a great blessing to me, a great blessing to me, in her window, praying for the people who walked by her house, and I was one of them.
That's good enough for me to say Anthony was a man who loved Jesus. You know, we are vessels that we're releasing to other people what is inside of us. It seemed to me that Sadie spent her time with Jesus, and because of that, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the word she spoke to Father. It was the presence of God that she carried. It was the love of God, the love of Jesus that she carried within her. And as people came near her, that Holy Spirit was released. It was spirit to spirit, not flesh to flesh, not word to word. It's spirit to spirit. You know, when I find people they're having a hard time. I know what it is. You're living, that they're living from the flesh and they're not living from the spirit. There's two parts of us. The flesh is from earth. The spirit is from heaven. And when we knock down the flesh and pray and we live from the spirit realm, we gain supernatural wisdom. We have the wisdom of God. We have the love of God. We have the power of God. We have the grace of God. The Lord Jesus speaks through us, and his love emanates through us. You know, when I see people leaving confession, or I see people leaving glory night, or I see people leaving the Blessed Sacrament adoration, their face glows. Their face is glowing with the presence of God. When I look at the monks, their face is glowing. You know what happened to Moses on the mountain is real. And that was the old covenant that led to death. We're in the new covenant of grace. Our face should be glowing and vibrating with the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit is oozing through us. But we got to live from the Spirit. We got to get in the Word. We got to pray in tongues. We got to fast. We got to give. We got to do Spirit-led things, not just trying to gratify the flesh. And when we do that, it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. But guess what happens? We become another Christ on this earth. Christians mean another Christ. It's not a religion. It's not I go to church. It's that I am a representative of the kingdom of God that was brought by Jesus Christ on earth as it is in heaven. So if someone has problems, Jesus in you has the solution.
Ah, the solution is in Jesus and you. You don't have to look for another person. Go to Jesus with it first. Tell the Lord Jesus about it. Empty your guts to Jesus. Tell him everything. Everything that's in your innermost being. Then as you leave Jesus, be quiet for a little while. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon all the parts that you ask Jesus to take. Like you have spiritual holes.
Yes.
Take your presence into my spiritual holes. Flood them with the grace of God. You see, St. Paul, such a great, great, great saint, but he wasn't always that. He killed Christians. He put Christians to death. He put Christians to prison. But you see, when God got him, his whole life was changed. And what did he start doing? He started preaching to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He started praying for people with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, you're not too far gone. The devil will tell you, you are too far gone. Oh, no, you are not too far gone. No one is too far gone. The person might be on their deathbed, breathing their last breath. They're not too far gone. No one is too far gone in Jesus. We come to the Lord Jesus as we are. We leave his presence different than when we came. Feel it or not, we leave the presence of God different than when we came. When's the last time you poured out your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? When's the last time you've written things to pour out your whole soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? And after you've done it, to say to him, flood me now in those areas that I just wrote about. Flood me in the grace of God. Change me by love. I'm desperate. Change me by love. Amen.
Yes, Lord. We get to come to Christ how we are. We just don't get to stay that way. We don't get to stay that way. A while ago, I met someone and I've been praying on them in the street. And I told them to come to glory night. And I gave them a little money. And they opened up to me and they were like, well, you know, I may go get high because I'm addicted and I don't want to be sick. Is it okay if I still come to the church? I said, brother, come. I don't care what state you're in. Just come. Don't let anything stop you from coming. No one's going to judge you. Well, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to give you a hug. I'm going to say, I'm so glad you're here. And the Holy Spirit's going to zap you sober anyways. You know, the church is a hospital.
Yeah.
So people are going to come broken, sick, high, late. It doesn't matter how they come. All that matters is they're there. But when they come, how are they welcomed? You know, are they greeted with love as Christ would greet them? And addiction's never the problem. It's the answer. The problem is all the brokenness in their soul. That's why it's so important that you let Jesus heal the voids and the wounds in your soul, because that's the exact areas the devil attacks. That's the exact areas the devil comes through. That's the exact areas that hold us back. The devil traumatizes us when we're children, and he tries to program our lives with lies. And he tries to get psychologically and emotionally us broken. And then he gives us his solutions. Just do a little drugs, do a little alcohol, watch a little porn, do a little yoga, buy a couple crystals, and he'll ease off of us because he's trying to get us to play his game. But meanwhile, he's winding us deeper and deeper and deeper. But you know what? There's many ways to hell. Thousands and thousands. There's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
There's only one way to the Father.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ. Only
Amen.
Jesus can heal. You know, even medicine, it's okay. It treats a symptom, but only Jesus gets to the root. Only Jesus heals from the inside out.
Amen.
And guess what happens when we're healed? Our life reflects healing.
Yeah.
And then guess what? We have empathy for other people. I'm not this prim and proper man who's never sinned. I'm the worst sinner of everyone.
Amen.
So when I see a sinner, I laugh about it. I don't laugh at the sin, but I just laugh at the devil's attempt on his life because I know how much greater, how much stronger Jesus Christ is. But I also know it takes participation with that person. First, we can't do anything until Jesus pours his love into us. Without that, nothing can happen. But upon Jesus pouring his love into us and knowing we are saved and redeemed and receiving the Holy Spirit, then that means a war has begun. Now it's time to go to battle. How do I go to battle? I begin to pray. I begin to fast. I begin to go to confession. I just begin to annihilate everything from my old life. I begin to deny myself of all the pleasures of the flesh. I begin to pray and connect to heaven. I begin to do what the Lord calls me to do. Jesus said, those who take the kingdom, take it by violence. What does that mean? I'm taking it by violence. I'm living in the spirit. I'm commanding the spiritual realm. I'm commanding myself. I have authority over myself. You know, when someone, Frank Kelly, he was doing a talk, and what he said, addiction is just sin. It is just sin. And at that time, when I heard it, I was coming out of drugs and stuff. And that was so empowering for me to hear. It's just sin. It's just a choice, because ultimately it's hard. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, every moment I'm making a choice. I'm choosing life or I'm choosing death. I'm choosing heaven. I'm choosing hell. There's people the Lord's showing me watching things on the computer you shouldn't. Yes, the devil's going to tempt you. Yes, it's going to be hard because sin's addicting. But it's a choice. It's a choice. And the real choice comes when you don't want to confess that and you don't want to bring it into the light. Because hidden sin grows in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But as we confess our sin, guess what? We don't have shame associated with that sin, and we become free, free, free. I know most people here aren't Catholic. Go to your pastor. Go to someone in the church who you can really trust. And empty your heart to them, because Jesus told us to confess our sins to one another. And watch the freedom that will bring.
Freedom, I tell you, for freedom Christ has set you free. The cross is all about freedom. freedom for you and freedom for me. Freedom to make choices that are in line with the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. Oh, but not only do I have freedom, I'm called to set people free. Oh, yes, people are bound up. And the Christian, the Catholic, is called to set people free. How? In the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, in the light of Jesus. Go and do it today in Jesus' name.
And ultimately, the devil wants to keep you a victim. He wants to keep you a victim because when you're a victim in your own mind, you have no power. I'm not denying maybe as children and throughout our life, we all have been victimized. But the day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from a victim to a victor.
Amen.
And I now have dominion and authority over my life through Jesus Christ. The Corinthians says we are co-creators and co-redeemers with Christ Jesus, which means by me, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the words I speak, by the beliefs I have in my heart, by the thoughts I think, by being single-minded to Jesus Christ, He is creating His life through me. He is creating His destiny through me. He is creating the plan, the perfect plan Christ set before me and for you before the foundation of the world. You are no longer a victim. You are no longer powerless. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In Christ, you have victory.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.